Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we once again face the issues. Let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so not based on my philosophy or feeling. It is not based on a denominational dogma. The facing of the issues totally, correctly, as should be in my most humble opinion, should focus on what does the Word of God say? The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Never will forget a number of years ago while Dr. Herbert W. Lockyer was still living, the British theologian. He stood about 6'6", had a deep gravel pit voice, snow white hair, black horned rimmed glasses. And on one occasion when he was speaking, giving a lecture series in the university, had the privilege of driving him back to the place where he was staying over in Orange Park. During the course of that brief drive, I asked Dr. Lockyer a question. I said, Dr. Lockyer, what kind of advice would you give a preacher that's considerably younger than you are? What kind of advice would you give? This was many years ago. And Dr. Lockyer took his well-worn, well-read, torn Bible from his right leg. He's seated in the car, passenger side, up front. He picks his Bible up and transfers it to his left hand, lifts it up with his frailty because of age. And as that Bible was shaking, he said, know this book. Know this book. Know this book. And placed his Bible back on his knee. That was his advice. Ladies and gentlemen, the question that we must ask today, can the Bible be fully trusted? Is the Bible authentic? Is the Bible inspired? Is it infallible? Is it up for debate? Or is it to be fully trusted? That's our issue today. That's the question that we ask. In just a moment, we'll get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion and allow you to call in and have your input or ask your question. Be delighted to field your question today or respond to your comments in relationship to this very serious question, this very serious issue. But as we face the issues, let me remind us once again, we do so based on truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So it's not a matter of philosophy or feeling. It's not a matter of dogma or religious somehow ideological debate. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion today, feel free to do so. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly to our radio studio and right to our microphone so that we can have your input or your question. Be delighted to discuss it with you. The question is, can the Bible be trusted? Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today where we're witnessing a fast-paced, evil advent and the inventions and the intents of the socialist Democrats and the constant change that we see in Washington. And I don't know about you, but I'm awed by the situational ethics and the relativism coming out of Washington. We can go back to just a few years ago and find that most of the socialist Democrats believed in border security. They voted for building a wall on the southern border. They were willing to recognize God And yet today, the Socialist Democrats are against border security. They're against building a wall on the southern border. They're against the protection of babies at birth, even in the womb or out of the womb. They are against prayer and the pledge to the U.S. flag. They're against any reference to God and the swearing in of someone that's pledging to tell the truth. Here's an article that is a little scary. The title of the article says, "Dems to strike, so help me God, from the oath taken in front of the key House committees." The article, first paragraph says, "A key committee in the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives is moving to eliminate the God reference from the oath administered to witnesses testifying before the panel as part of a new rules package expected to be approved this week," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's scary enough to find the Socialist Democrats wanting to basically have the invaders, the entire hundreds of thousands of invaders coming into America without being vetted, without being approved, without the proper channels, without authorization. And they're doing so in order to the hopes of winning the 2020 election by having these invaders come in soon enough that they can get them registered to vote and to get them on the voting rolls. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make is the major tectonic change and switch in the Democratic Socialist and what they at once one time stood for. In fact, this is my mentioning of that a moment ago is just a small sampling of what we see in this major tectonic shift today in what we see as a moral, ethical America as being awash today in our great nation. We're seeing the morals and ethics and values and standards being absolutely put into shreds, vacillating and changing. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, with all of the changing, with all of the shifting, with all that which is taking place in Washington, with all that is called today is called wrong, and all that is called right is being upside down. In fact, you go back to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and the scripture is very, very clear that there'll come a day when right will be called wrong and wrong will be called right. And that's where we are in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in an era of moral, ethical relativism. And the question begs to be asked, is there anything that we can hold on to? Is there anything, ladies and gentlemen, that is stable in the shifting sands in America and globally? Is there anything today that we can place our trust and our confidence in and know that we stand on solid ground in doing so? And may I say emphatically, yes. I wholeheartedly recommend the Bible, the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is absolute, and God never changes, and His Word is settled forever, according to Psalms 119 and verse 89. In fact, that's a verse that I believe is worth our listening to. Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And I want us to understand, it's not a matter of what man says. It's not a matter of what some theologian may say. It's not a matter of what others may feign about the Word of God. It's a matter that it is settled forever. Yet we are witnessing today a satanic, demonic attempt to undermine our trust and confidence in the trustworthiness of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the Bible. I want us to examine a few of the high-profile statements made by two people, two in America, one in America and one that's global, in what they have said about the Bible and the Word of God, and in an attempt, I believe, either knowingly or unwittingly. That reminds me of James Clapper when he was being interviewed on national television and rubbing his forehead when they asked the question if he had lied about anything, and he says, not wittingly. So apparently he did unwittingly. But nevertheless, there's a group today, in fact, two in particular, that I want us to talk about. We could talk about dozens that have cast dispersion and doubt and denigrated the Word of God, no less than going back to the third chapter of Genesis, hath God said, and that is the question that Satan has always had on the Word of God. And if God and if Satan and demonic influence can place that in the heart and mind of anybody, politically, socially, ethically, morally, biblically speaking, if that is the case, then it's going to tear down and destroy anything that God could do in and through a life. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, that satanic, demonic effort to undermine our trust and confidence in the Word of God. Some of these high-profile religious leaders that are attempting to do this with their efforts, they are saying with their question mark about the Word of God by their statements of what they're saying. Andy Stanley is one of them. We've talked about Andy several times on this broadcast, but I want to kind of summarize some of his sayings today, link them with some of the sayings and stands of Pope Francis and what he's saying, so that we can get a picture of the attack on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. With the question today and the issue today, can the Bible be trusted? Andy Stanley has said that we should trust and believe what science says and not what the Bible says about creation and the origin of man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that God created male and female, created he them. The Bible says that God created everything that's created, and each thing that he created in Genesis 1 and 2, he said it was good. And God said that he created the heavens and the earth. When you look at Colossians 1, 13 through 18, we find that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is God the Creator. He created everything in heaven, everything under the heavens, everything on earth, everything beneath the earth, everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, everything that it has been created is created by God. And God created us, ladies and gentlemen. And so what Andy Stanley's saying is that we need to place our faith and trust and confidence in scientists. Now listen, biblical science proves the Bible. But we're talking about scientists. He says we need to place our trust in science and not in the reliability of the Word of God. Secondly, Andy Stanley has declared that the Ten Commandments are not relevant to modern Christians today, that the Ten Commandments ought not to be adhered to, that we need not look at the Ten Commandments as being rules and regulations and guidelines for our lives. Thirdly, Andy Stanley has declared that we must come unhitched from the Old Testament. Yet Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, found in the New Testament. Jesus and the New Testament writers quoted from the Old Testament directly over 300 times. In fact, when the disciples were walking on this earth with the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Thy word says so and so, thy word," and the word you find in it, "it is written." That means it is written and it stands written, and it's referring back to the Old Testament. The only Bible that the New Testament church had was the Old Testament scrolls, and yet they preached Jesus from the Old Testament scrolls. And yet somehow, some way, there's a modern mind that is has a sense of understanding of theological things and a sense of right and wrong about the Word of God more than God does. Andy Stanley saying we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. And fourth, Andy Stanley says that the only command for the modern era Christian is the command to love one another. That's the only command we need to adhere to. And I could go on and on and on. The point is not today simply to examine and amplify on the wrong theology of Andy Stanley, though it is absolutely, unequivocally, totally incorrect and wrong theologically, doctrinally. And he is preaching and teaching pure, total heresy today, if I can be bold enough to make that declaration. But yet there's another that we need to consider. One of the things that questions it begs to be asked is to Andy, when did God change? When did God's word change? When did God appoint Andy Stanley to rewrite the Bible and to determine what is truth and what is not truth? We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, can the Bible be trusted? You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number that reaches us today is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you've got a question about the Bible yourself, a challenge about the Word of God. Perhaps you have doubt in relationship to the authenticity and the veracity and the trustworthiness of the Word of God. If you do, you can lay that question to rest. God said it, that settled it, whether you understand it or not. But ladies and gentlemen, we all stand in jeopardy today if we cannot place our total trust and confidence in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of Holy God. But wait just a minute. Andy Stanley is not the only loud voice in the theological world. Andy Stanley is not the only voice in the world that's challenging and questioning the sacredness and the veracity of the Word of God. Now, I understand, and I could stay on this broadcast 24/7, and I could simply elaborate on and examine the words and statements coming out of multitudes of mouths that are on the air, both radio and television. You can listen to any radio network you want to. You can watch any television channel you'd like to. And if you listen to anything that's called religious broadcasting, you're going to find some major heresy being proclaimed that is not found in the Word of God. Part of that problem, ladies and gentlemen, is because you have these self-proclaimed prophets of God, these self-proclaimed apostles of God, these self-proclaimed mouthpieces, voices of God, that's never looked at the Word of God. This is the reason you study Jeremiah chapter 23. You find some of the Old Testament prophets telling the king, God told me to tell you thus and so. And as you read the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, it just absolutely is laughable. If it were not so sad and serious, it would be absolutely hilarious, because these prophets are telling the king what God's told them to tell him. And then God says to these fake, phony prophets of that era, that was fake news even back then, God says to them, what do you guys mean? I'm paraphrasing. What do you guys mean? You're telling the king that I told you to tell him so-and-so, and I haven't even talked with you. You haven't even talked with me? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the problem today. I believe that is the core centrality of the lack of truth being proclaimed from pulpits and from the highest points in our nation and around the globe today, is because we have those that have not talked with God, have not studied God's Word, not analyzed the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and simply preaching and teaching heresy as a result of that. I never will forget a number of years back, I was talking about the false teachers and some of the false theology that was being taught. And my wife asked a very serious question. She said, are they doing that because they're deceived? Or is it that they knowingly are deceiving? And I said, yes. There's some that are deceived, and as a result of that, they are deceivers. There's some that knowingly are deceiving, and that is their modus operandi, to have people follow them and fall down at their boots and believe that they have some new revelation that God has not given to anybody else. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just Andy Stanley that is a high-profile voice today that's preaching and teaching heresy that I believe, ladies and gentlemen, will absolutely be condemning multitudes to a devil's hell, and as a result of listening to, believing, and falling for the fake preaching teaching that's going on. But another one that is highly seen and visible around the globe is none other than the Pope. The Pope, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, is preaching and teaching heresy today more than I've ever seen. Now, keep in mind, I understand, listen, perhaps you're listening to me today and you have a Roman Catholic background. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm simply saying that if I were to ask you a question, what does your denomination believe? What does it teach? What does it say about heaven? What do you believe about hell? What do you believe about the perpetual virginity of Mary? What do you believe about who you need to pray to and who you need to call Father, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Could you answer those questions? Or would your answers be antithetical to biblical truth? Would they be in harmony with biblical truth? And that's what I'm talking about today. It's time that we as Christians, it's time that the church, the so-called church of the Lord Jesus Christ, get back to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental words of God, which is found in the Scripture, what God says. The Pope has stated, yes, advocated for the following. Number one, the Pope has said the Lord's Prayer should be changed. And he has declared that the words, lead us not into temptation, is not good, because the Pope said God does not lead any human to sin. In fact, here's an article about that, ladies and gentlemen. Title of the article says, The Lord's Prayer, Pope Francis calls for change. Pope Francis has called for a translation of the phrase about temptation in the Lord's Prayer to be changed. He says the current wording that says, lead us not into temptation, is not a good translation, and that God has called upon him to change the Lord's Prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that statement. There's a problem with anybody that says somehow, some way, that they have already determined that God made an error and that they can make a change. And here's an article that says, Pope's at it again. Never want to miss an opportunity to take a side against God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Pope has once again weighed on the political hot button. And he says, this writer says, are you kidding me? And he goes on to declare some of the things in relationship to political statements, and that President Trump is wrong in declaring that Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital city. And I could go on and on and on, but that's getting into the realm of what he's saying and doing in relationship to the political agenda today. But the primary thing is, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope has determined that the Lord's Prayer is in error in the Scriptures we have it today. May I remind us, the Pope has also summarily declared that hell does not exist. Yes, the Pope says hell does not exist. Here's an article. Pope Francis repeatedly denies the existence of hell. And this article says Pope Francis was quoted as saying that those who die in the state of mortal sin, they are not punished. I'm quoting from the Pope. Those who repent obtain God's forgiveness and take their place among the ranks of those who contemplated him. But those who do not repent cannot be forgiven, just simply disappear. Quote, hell does not exist. The disappearance of the sinning soul is the only thing that exists, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, to say that hell is not real defies the absolute reality of what the scripture says. As you studied the scripture in relationship to hell, let me just give you a little snippet from my book on that place called hell. Please Don't Go to Hell is the title of it, subtitled The Doctrine, Biblical Doctrine of Hell. Should be on the bookseller's shelves in early June at the latest. But hell is a place of debauchery. The scripture says in Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You find, ladies and gentlemen, the place of hell is a place of darkness. Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, that is the kingdom of this world, shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of destitution. Luke 13:28 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of distress. Luke 13:28 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment. Hell is a place of doom. The scripture says that hell is a place of doom. Matthew 25:41. Then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is a place of death. The soul that sinneth it shall die, the scripture says in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a place of damnation. Psalms 9 verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And Matthew 23:33, the scripture says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Hell is a place of forever, forever. When the scripture says in Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 10 that ultimately Satan will be cast into hell, and it says, and he will be there forever and forever, and it's an understood continuing voice, forever and forever and forever, pointing out the eternality of that place called hell. But yet Pope Francis says hell does not exist. Here's another article on that same subject, dated April the 3rd, 2018. The article says hell is wanting to have a distance between God and man. It is not fire and brimstone. And this article continues saying, contemporary theologians would agree with what the Pope says. Listen, hell is not about fire and brimstone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the rich man and Lazarus found in Luke chapter 16 and verses about verse 23 and following, the rich man that went into hell didn't know anything about it being just separation from God. He cried out, Father Abraham, send Lazarus with just a drop of water to put on the tip of my tongue, because I am tormented in these flames. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place. But yet Pope Francis says the Lord's Prayer needs to be changed. It is not up to date. He says that hell does not exist. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that because of what the Pope is saying, the Catholic clergy and the Catholic scholars are now calling him a Pope of heresy. Here's the caption of the article. Catholic clergy and scholars accuse the Pope of Pope Francis of heresy. A group of 19 Catholics, including clergy and scholars, have accused Pope Francis of preaching and teaching heresy in an open letter to the bishops of the Catholic Church. The letter, dated Easter week, following a similar letter's petitions over the last several years, questioned the Pope's theological orthodoxy. Further, the article says the letter writers based their accusations on the Pope's alleged embracing of positions that are contrary with Catholic faith, as he overtly supports the thoughts and shows disrespect to the Church's scripture and morals. At least there's someone that's on the watch, looks like, in relationship to that. The Pope has said homosexuals are born that way, ladies and gentlemen. God's word doesn't say that. God's word says if you're a sodomite, you're going to hell. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, doesn't give any leeway about it. When you look at the scripture, you find that a sodomite, a homosexual, one that the Pope called gay lifestyle, he said the gay lifestyle, God's created them that way, and they need to be embraced by the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a demonic delusion from the pits of hell. It is not real. It is not relevant biblically. It's absolutely a lie. The Pope says also the Bible is out of date and should be rewritten. Yet the Bible says that God's word is settled forever. That means forever. That means it cannot be challenged or questioned, cannot be rewritten. Here's an article about that. It says Pope Francis to replace the Bible with another book. Pope Francis has surprised the world today by announcing that the Bible is totally outdated and needs radical changing. Now, I don't know about you, but that's frightening for me. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, listen very carefully. As a result of the Pope's claiming that God's called upon him to rewrite the Bible, that's been promulgated now in China. And part of that promulgation in China has caused the Chinese government to crack down on Christians and the Christian churches. They are absolutely vandalizing, burning, destroying, tearing down dozens and dozens and dozens of churches. Just a few weeks ago, they had destroyed about 60 churches. They confiscated the Bibles. They confiscated their funds. They confiscated their hymn books. They kept the money, buried the Bibles in the hymn books. And now they're saying the Chinese government, under the leadership of Pope Francis' handpicked cardinal, now working with the Chinese government, says that the Chinese Bible must be rewritten to embrace Confucianism and Hinduism and Buddhism and the Chinese socialist communist leadership and government. And the Pope has said through his cardinals in China that the Christians in China must adhere to the state government and what they say. Now, here's an article that says the Chinese government to rewrite the Bible and make it more communist, dated January the 18th, 2019. As it arrests Christian pastors, vandalizes and destroys Christian churches, and demands control over Christian leaders, the Chinese government is also altering Christian scriptures to suit its own taste. Further in the article, it says the pastor told the Christian Post that there are official guidelines that the new Bible should now be look westernized and should look Chinese and reflect Chinese ethics, Confucianism, and socialism. And this article goes further to say the Chinese government's five-year plan officially began February the 1st of 2018 under the reform. Children are no longer allowed to attend Christian religious services. In a recent meeting with the communist regime, Pope Francis agreed to recognize the bishops from China's schismatic Catholic Patriotic Association. An Asian Catholic newspaper has reported that the pontiff has even asked two faithful Catholic underground bishops to stand aside in favor of the government-backed bishops in the rewriting of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely sad. It's denigrating to anything that would be called biblical Christianity. The Pope has also declared that God has called him to revise the Ten Commandments. Here's the article that says, God has instructed me, this is Pope Francis speaking, God has instructed me to revise the Ten Commandments. Well, my question is, Pope, when did God declare you God? When did you become God? God's word, the Bible, is from God, not from the Pope, not from any bishop, not from any preacher, teacher, theologian, or Bible scholar, so-called. But it's from God. It is the word of God. And I am saddened and concerned because the major question we're talking about today and asking is, can the Bible be trusted? Is the Bible a trustworthy document? Can we place our faith and confidence in the written, revealed word of God? The Pope has declared that he's going to revise the Ten Commandments. Pope also has declared that the atheist will go to heaven, that atheists will go to heaven. I'm shocked by this, ladies and gentlemen. The question that's asked the Pope, do atheists go to heaven? The Pope Francis says yes. And this is an elongated three-page article, but it's where he's in a conversation with a young lad, and the young lad's daddy was a known professing atheist. The lad's dad has died, and so the lad in conversation with the Pope in some rural areas of Rome in the discussion, where he had that one-on-one, the young lad said, my dad was an atheist. Where is he? And the Pope assures him, quote, God has the heart of a father. Your father was a good man. He's in heaven with him. Sure, God has a father's heart, and God would never abandon a non-believing father who baptizes his children. God was certainly proud of your father because it's easier for a believer to have your children baptized than a non-believer to have their children baptized. Pray for your father. Talk to your father. Your father is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. And let me summarize this broadcast on this issue today on the question, is the Bible trustworthy? Let me summarize it by saying this. If Andy Stanley and the Pope are correct, if they're correct, and I say they're not, if they're correct, murder by way of abortion is okay. Cheating on one's spouse is okay. Lying is all right. Stealing is all right. Sodomite lifestyle is okay. We just elevated from slime and God did not create us. The Bible is just a man-made book and not a God-inspired book. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. We can place our faith and trust and confidence in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I challenge you to read the Bible, study the Bible, inculcate the Bible in your heart, memorize the scripture, and let you have the heart of God by facing issues through the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.